Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Journeys into mind, heart, and soul. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest. Spirit Talk Live is our monthly forum for exploring the great questions of existence, for joining in the quest to find meaning and worth in life through intellectual inquiry and sacred spirits. It is a worldwide conversation for spiritual seekers and rational empiricists, for people of all religions and of no religion, of all faiths and of no faith, because here on Spirit Talk Live, nothing is sacred and everything is sacred. Well, welcome to this month's edition of Spirit Talk Live. We're very, very glad that you are here with us. And as always, I'm happy to remind you of my newest book, The Real Name of God, Embracing the Full Essence of the Divine. To learn more about this book, which is really radical revolutionary theology, you can go to the website www.godisanochi.com. Godisanochi.com. There, you'll find a little 7 minute or so video where I explain the ideas and the concepts of this book, and you can listen to all the chants that are indicated in the book. There are more than 30 chants to which you can listen. You can listen to them as we used to say in the old South Side of Chicago, free for nothing. Or if you wish, you can purchase a hard copy CD, which you can order and we'll be glad to send you. You can also order there the companion booklet called The Care and Feeding of Your God Self. So those things are right there, along with listings of my other books and other activities. So check it out, godisanochi.com. The book is The Real Name of God, available on Amazon and other fine booksellers. As I mentioned, it's revolutionary, radical theology, and with all humility, if enough people read this book, we really could change the face of the world through oneness consciousness. So today, we are delighted to welcome to the program a Jewish cantor, she'll tell us what that is, and a spiritual leader and chaplain, both a hospital chaplain and for years and years a chaplain in an assisted living facility in Orange County, California. She is cantor Sue Knight Deutsch. Her book is The Healing Hand, Five Discussions to Have with the Dying Who Are Living. And what better discussion to have with someone who spends so many hours and days and has committed her life to being there to be the spiritual guide and guidance for those who are moving and transitioning from this side to the other side, and for their families as well, teaching them how to cope with their own grief, even as they bring comfort and love to those who are transitioning. So from her offices in Orange County, California, we are delighted to welcome to Spirit Talk Live, cantor Sue Knight Deutsch. Cantor, welcome.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction, Rabbi Wayne.
A great pleasure. So first, we've had cantors on the program before, but just in case someone doesn't know what a cantor is, which is your main ecclesiastical title, now please tell us.
A cantor is someone who sings the liturgy in a synagogue, and that might seem like a basic introduction to what a cantor is. The actual Hebrew word for a cantor is chazan, which has its root in the word vision, visionary. And so really, a cantor is someone who is a conduit for the congregation, who leads the congregation in prayer and really is a conduit to the Spirit.
Very, very beautiful definition. I've never heard it put quite that way. It's very, very beautiful. And so how does one train to become a cantor?
There are several ways that you can train in a seminary, the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, and then the Academy for Jewish Religion. There's one in Los Angeles, and there's one, I believe, in New York. So there are several schools that are accredited, provide ordination. It's a 5-year program where you study music and liturgy and the theories of all the different aspects of Judaism, text, Talmud, all the liturgy and history, the history of Jewish music as well as Jewish history, and as well, you know, music theory. So it's a combination, very broad spectrum. And I'm often asked, well, what's the difference between a cantor and a rabbi? And the cantor is the one who sings, and the rabbi is the one who gives the sermons and does the lessons. But it's really interchangeable, too. I have wonderful rabbis I've worked with who sing beautifully, and cantors like me who give sermons and go for hospital visits. So it's really a nice relationship between the two.
And we should point out that it is not an easy program. It's a 5-year graduate program after college, university. And I would add to the list that you gave, Jewish Theological Seminary, Academy for Jewish Religion, also the Hebrew Union College, which was the first to have a cantorial school.
And, oh, that's right. That's for Reform. Yes.
And the Olive Program.
I think in conservative terms, because I'm a conservative cantor.
The Olive Program, led by cantor Chazan Jack Kessler. So there are many, many ways to train. Now, I'm sure that those who are listening to us will be interested to know where your beautiful, lovely, lilting accent comes from. So please tell us.
I was raised in England. I was actually born in this country, in Boston, Massachusetts, and my father died when I was 6 months old. My mother is British, and so she took me back to her family in England, and I was raised in England.
So you've been dealing with loss and grief from the cradle, literally.
Yes, yes. I think, you know, if this, I believe in karma, but if there's such a thing as karma, I think that's, I was put onto the planet to help others deal with loss. But the best way to help others is to experience yourself. Not that I would welcome loss, but if I have to have loss, to find the gift in it.
Well, we all have loss, and part of your book here is helping us find the gift in loss. The book is The Healing Hand, 5 Discussions to Have with the Dying Who Are Living. It's available on Amazon and other book sellers.
And through my website.
And through the website. Why don't you tell us the name of that website?
It's cantorsue.com, cantorsue.com.
There it is, the website cantorsue.com, where you can order The Healing Hand, also, as we mentioned, Amazon and other booksellers. So tell us a little bit about your career as you have unfolded into this work.
When I graduated high school, it was in the mid-70s, and I was given a choice between the career counselor of do you want to be a teacher, a social worker, a nurse? And I said I wanted to be a journalist, and she said, no, you're going to get married and have children, but that's not for Jewish women.
That was in the 70s already still?
Beg your pardon?
That was in the mid-70s?
That was in 19... So I'm going to date myself here. That was in 1973.
Wow. 1973. Because by 1972, we had the first ordained woman rabbi. We had Ms. Magazine. You know, if you told me that somebody told you that in the 40s, the 50s, or even in the 60s when I was growing up, I might have understood. But to hear that in the 70s, wow, that the guidance counselor was really behind the times. But I'm glad.
Well, she was in England, remember.
Right?
That was in England.
Right.
And in England, in a Jewish school in England, it wasn't as progressive as it is here. And still, in England, even though there are female cantors in England, at the time I started my training, there was only one who was still the main one that I think of in England.
Well,
and in fact, my uncle was the cantor of the third largest synagogue in England, and he gave me the idea to become a cantor here. When he heard me singing in the synagogue here, he said, you know, America has a place for you. And that was back in 1995.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you didn't listen to the advice of the guidance counselor, and because the world is much better off with having you do what you do. So you came to America, you studied, you learned, and you experienced...
Well, first I went to Israel.
You first went to Israel. And what happened there?
So, you know, I trained to become a social worker, but a social worker in her early 20s, it's very difficult to really help people because what do you know in your early 20s? In the same way that you know in your 40s. So I went to get some experience, and then the Yom Kippur War broke out just as I had started college. And I volunteered the next day, and I fell in love with the country and with the people and decided I wanted to come back after college and learn to speak modern Hebrew, because I had learned the Hebrew of the Bible, which is different. And so when I finished college, I went back to Israel. And I went to an ulpan. I learned to speak Hebrew. And I met my husband there, and my late husband, and he was from Newport Beach. And so that's how I ended up in America.
how the world unfolds, eh?
Yes, yes.
So you wind up in America, and then what happened?
I wound up in... And then I got married and became a mom and decided, you know, I wanted to be a full-time mother. At the same time, we joined a conservative synagogue here in Orange County, and I was volunteering. I would be on the board. I was ritual director at one point, and then I would teach my own children, and I got to teaching Hebrew school, and I just really had a love of teaching. And then when my youngest was in first grade, my uncle, who was the cantor from England, came to visit and said, you know, you have a lovely voice, you just need some training, and you need to find yourself a teacher, and you could become a chazan and a cantor. And so I thought about it. I went to a cantor here in Orange County and asked her how I would go about doing it, because at that time I still had three children at home. Mm. I couldn't get to the seminary in New York, and as of yet there was no Academy for Jewish Religion. So I found a mentor teacher, Cantor Nathan Lamb, and I did the Cantor's Assembly program by being mentored, and then I took the test and got my commission through the Jewish Theological Seminary. So it actually took me 6 years.
Well, you couldn't ask for...
And that's how it evolved and into being a cantor.
You couldn't ask for a better mentor. He's the best. He's the best.
Yes, yes.
So then, I'm not sure of the timing here, but at some point, personal tragedy strikes, yes?
Are you talking about my
your husband's
death?
Yes.
My husband actually was diagnosed with cancer in October of 2009, and I had been serving at that point for 10 years as the sole spiritual leader and chaplain of an assisted living facility, a Jewish assisted living facility in Orange County. And I continued working and caring for my husband. He died 5 months later. And when I was in the hospital room with him, the palliative care doctor came in and said, you know, there are some things you should talk to him about before he dies. And my children were sitting there, and he said, you know, you need to tell him what you're thankful for, and if there's anything that you think he needs forgiving, or you know, there's some forgiveness that needs to happen, you should talk to him about that, and let him know that he's loved, and, you know, you have to begin the process of saying goodbye. And my children were going back and forth from the hospital, and they asked me, what were those things we have to say again? What were those things we have to talk about? And so I said, put up your hand. And I used the hand as a memory tool. And I said, we have to say thank you. And I forgive you. And will you forgive me? And we love you, Dad. And then we have to say goodbye. And this is something that we did with my husband, and there were different ways of doing it. Letting him know really that his life had meaning and still had meaning for till his last breath, and actually continues to have meaning even though he's not here anymore physically. And I started to use that discussion with my congregants after my husband had passed away. I had been sitting for 10 years at the bedside with literally hundreds of people and families, and I was now able to use these discussions, even when someone was in a coma, to have the family talk to their loved one. Because very often when you're sitting in a hospital room, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say. The person is in discomfort or not. You can't communicate, but you can still talk to them. And I now had this tool, this way of speaking for the person, even if they couldn't speak themselves. And the families used to come and say to me, you know, that was so helpful. And I thought to myself, you know, if I didn't know this as a chaplain after 10 years, if I didn't know that, then other people don't know it either. And I need to let them know.
Well, we always teach, and you alluded to it, and I just want to underline it for our audience, that hearing is the last sense to go. And so even when it seems as if a patient, a loved one, is totally in a coma, totally unresponsive, that person can still hear. And talking is really, really important. And you're emphasizing this by giving us a series of five things to say. That's your book. And that's your book, and you've written it, and you teach it in...
And sing, too, because singing, music, reaches both sides of the brain in a way that language doesn't.
Yes. As my own father was dying years ago, I would go and sing the liturgy with him, the Sabbath liturgy, which he remembered word for word, and melody for melody.
Right.
So...
Right.
Absolutely.
I have a wonderful story about that maybe I could share with you a little later.
Okay. You can share it now if you wish. We're good.
Okay, so I was called to a hospital room, and the man I was seeing was 94. He was just being taken out of restraints because he was agitated. I went and I asked if I could touch him. I put my hand on his. He grasped my hand, and I started to sing Shema to him. And I noticed that he was mouthing the words with me. He was focused, and then I started to sing more. And I looked down, and his feet were moving back and forth in rhythm with my voice. And so I said to his daughter, who was standing there, perhaps you would want to play some music in the room. And she said, Cantor, I don't know how my father heard you. He's deaf.
Wow, that's a story. That's a story.
Yeah.
What a story told to us just now by Cantor Sue Knight de Deutsch, whose book is The Healing Hand, Five Discussions to Have with the Dying Who Are Living. And when we return, we'll find out about each of these five discussions. This is such important work. It's difficult. It's often very, very painful. It's incredibly poignant, but it's so, so important. This is literally matters of life and death, and we can make death so much easier and so much sweeter for those who are in transition. The Healing Hand, Five Discussions to Have with the Dying Who Are Living, Cantor Sue Knight Deutsch. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. This is Spirit Talk Live. As always, we invite you to come on the journey. Join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. We'll be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
Save the Animals Today offers a respectable retirement and end-of-life experience for all the horses that have been abandoned as they age. Not a day goes by that people don't call Save the Animals Today looking for a place for their horses. Patty and the folks at Save the Animals Today do their best to bring as many horses as they possibly can to beautiful Dudette Ranch to love them and care for them. Dudette Ranch is a special place. Horses and other farm animals enjoy the peaceful sanctuary of the lovely hills north of San Diego. Volunteers of all ages come to interact with and take care of these wonderful creatures. Older folks who had horses when they were growing up and now have some free time especially enjoy helping around the barn with animals who want the extra attention. Save the Animals Today would like to provide shelter for every farm animal who needs rescue. Right now, there's a waiting list. Dudette Ranch needs your help. The horses need your help. You can help these magnificent animals by making a tax-deductible donation to Save the Animals Today. $25 will make a difference, and $25 a month will mean another older horse will enjoy its older years, loved and cared for. If you want to help even more, visit the website at www.savetheanimalstoday.org.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, we're back. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. My guest today, the lovely cantor, Sue Knight Deutsch. Her book is The Healing Hand, Five Discussions to Have with the Dying Who Are Living. And she tells us a bit of the background about herself, about the cantorate, about chaplaincy, and part of what motivated her into this kind of work, her own losses, her own father when she was only 6 months old, and her husband, who died. How old was he, Sue?
He was 55.
55, yes. Very, very young. And so the comforter became in need of comfort, and the director became in need of direction and guidance. And so the palliative care doctor gave just a small idea, a hint of what she, with Cantor Sue and her children, could say in the hospital room to their dying father and husband. And she has taken this and made an entire book and workshop and core teaching about it. And we're going to find out about that right now. So, first of all, Cantor Sue, before we get to the particulars of the book, tell us, please, about the workshops you lead and how people can come to those workshops.
Okay, so I lead workshops all around the country. Organizations hire me to come in and do anything from a two-day workshop to or a small, you know, three-hour workshop to a two-day workshop. I can do it for 5 days. I haven't yet done that. I'm working on that. I also do one in my hometown, October through February. And basically, it's having these discussions, how to have these discussions, how to be present in the hospital room. But I call the workshop being present for the things that matter most in life and death, because these discussions are not just about being in the hospital room or when somebody is dying. These are all discussions that matter in life. And hopefully we won't wait until somebody's dying to have these discussions. These are all things that we hopefully could be doing every day with the people that we love and care about.
So I take
it on the road, and I also do it in my hometown, and I'm working on doing one online possibly next year.
How nice. How nice. That's great. So if somebody's interested in your workshop schedule, go to your website?
Go to my website, cantorsue.com, CantorSue.com. And if you want to, there's a little button there to opt in to, if you give me your email, I will send you updates of where and when I'm doing the next workshop.
Very nice. Now, before we get into the specifics of the five fingers, tell us, please, because people often confuse these words and these concepts, tell us the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Okay. There's a very good video by Brené Brown that I show in my workshops, and basically sympathy is when you see somebody go, no, I know how that feels, you know. You know, you lost your mom? Well, at least you have your dad. Johnny's not doing well in school? Well, Sarah's an A student, you know. Whereas empathy is being with the person, connected to the person, just saying, I know you're going through a hard time. Tell me about it. I'm here for you. To actually put yourself in the other person's shoes and connect with them. Sympathy is actually a disconnection. It's just like, well, I feel sorry for you, but it doesn't apply to me.
It's almost like what we've been hearing lately. I don't want your sympathy or your thoughts or your prayers. I want action.
That's what the
kids from Parkland were saying. And in many ways, it's the same.
Like, be present for me. Be present.
Yeah.
Just being present.
All right. So that's really interesting. That's very, very helpful. We should all learn that lesson from Cantor Sue.
And a lot of people ask me, how can I be present? And there are breathing techniques to actually, you know, the mind is very cluttered and it never stops. And there's a way to actually breathe and center yourself so that you can, I call it parking yourself at the door in the book. And I give a description of how to do that, of just putting your own baggage aside, setting it aside so that you can be open for the other person. Because really, it's just about being open and there and present for someone else. We all need connection. Nobody does this life alone.
And you referred to this, and I wrote about it in one of my books, I think my book, Life Hurts, When Life Hurts. People often say, oh, if you need anything, just call. Anything you need,
right.
I'm here for you. Which, of course,
right.
is absolutely worthless because no one's going to call. Or
right.
you don't know what to ask for. I mean, when our house burned down,
exactly.
One of the gentlest, sweetest, and most wealthy men I knew said, Rabbi, anything that's mine is yours. You just tell me whatever you need. What was I going to say? Buy me a suit? Build me a house? I mean, what do I say to you?
Right.
So I came up with the concept of FANAMI, find a need and meet it, which is go get a pizza for the kids. Ask if there's
right.
dry cleaning that needs to be picked up. Ask if there's somebody who's coming in from out of town who needs a pickup from the airport. Take the kids
right.
for a couple hours to the playground. Those are the kinds of things that are the needs, but nobody can ever articulate them. And if you find that need and meet it, that is really, really empathizing and helping the person in need.
Right. And you have to be able to offer it. You know, if I'm a terrible cook, I'm not going to offer somebody a wonderful meal. I have to know what it is about me that I can offer that can really help that other person. So I have to look to, can I do this? And then offer what it is I can do. Be specific.
Right.
And, you know, even the people are saying, if there's anything I can do, call me. Because they really, they don't know what else to say. And then, you know, if a person does call, be prepared to step up.
Exactly.
Be prepared.
You can't say, oh, I'm so busy, that, gee, I wish I could help you, but I can't. So
right.
this conversation has gone many, many different ways, and each one is very fascinating. We're going to get to the five fingers on the hand as soon as we come back. This is Rabbi Wayne Dasik. I'm here with Cantor Sue Knight-Deutsch, the Healing Hand, five discussions they have with the dying who are living. We'll find out those five discussions and hear a little bit about each one when we return. As always, here at Spirit Talk Live, we invite you to come on the journey. Join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dasik. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dasik.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to thehealthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Do you wonder what is happening in our world? Do you wonder what the forces of the universe are doing to us? Is your life affected by the ebb and flow of events over which you seem to have little control? The answers to these questions and more can be found in the internet publication Cosmic Times, Spiritual News You Can Use, a bimonthly channel transmission from Ellen Kaufman Dasik. Since 1994, the Cosmic Times has offered detailed information about what is happening energetically in our cosmos and how we can best support the emerging consciousness within ourselves and our world. Many people feel like the Cosmic Times keeps them sane in a seemingly crazy world, lifts their vibrations, and supports their continuing growth and expansion. You can subscribe to the Cosmic Times by going to the website www.soulmemorydiscovery.com. Join the thousands who benefit from the wisdom and insights in the Cosmic Times and receive spiritual news you can use. www.soulmemorydiscovery.com.
Information, entertainment, worldwide. HealthyLife.net.
Here we go. We're back. It's Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne. Wayne Dossick, along with Cantor Sue Knight de Deutsch, who is kind enough to come once in a while to our Shabbat morning, our Sabbath morning services here at the Elijah Minyan. And one of these days, we're going to find out that she's coming in advance, Cantor, and we'll give her some things to do in the service so that we can hear her lovely liturgical voice in situ. That would be just wonderful.
That would be my pleasure.
All right, so we'll figure it out. Because, you know, our cantor is here only every other week, every other Shabbos, and I'm here leading the service myself. And, you know, I lead a pretty good service. I'm pretty good, but I'd love to have some participation with you, so by you, so it would be great. All right, Cantor Sue, five fingers of the hand. These are the five discussions to have with those who are dying. Number one, go.
Okay, so number one is thank you, is gratitude. Helen Keller wrote a piece once about 3 days, she called it 3 days to see, and she asked a friend who had been walking in the woods, what did you see? Now, Helen Keller was blind, deaf, and dumb, and her friend said, oh, nothing much, just the usual. And Helen was like, just the usual? What if I had 3 days to see, if I had 3 days to see, what would I want to see and remember? And it's so difficult sometimes to notice things and be grateful for them. And you often think, well, of course I'm grateful to this person, but sometimes you need to point it out. You need to tell them exactly what it is you're grateful for in that person, what they've done for you. When I have students who, I always ask them, what's going well? And then the next week when they see me, they've been looking for what's going well. So it's good to look for the good and express that thank you. Sometimes people, especially people who are dying, want to know what it was that was valuable, how their life had meaning, and just expressing something that they have done, ordinary moments that they think are ordinary, that are now standing out as extraordinary. What have they done for you? How did they make you feel? You know, Maya Angelou once said, people won't remember what you said, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. Mm. So how have they made you feel? And sometimes, you know, in relationships, there are things where your loved one has disappointed you, and even out of that disappointment, there's something you can find, you know, that you learned from it. And so in any relationship, they're not all wonderful relationships, and sometimes it's hard to say thank you when somebody hasn't been helpful to you. And my own mother, I was not raised by her after I was 4 years old, and I learned so much from that abandonment, as it were, and I'm grateful for the lessons that I've learned and that she kept in contact with me. So I can always find something, there's something that you can find to say thank you for.
And I would suggest, to go just one step further, that what you have just told us, which is really profound, is not just for those who are dying, but for those who are living. How often
exactly
do we not thank our spouses, our children, our co-workers, our clergy, our teachers, our lineage for what they give us. I have a gratitude practice where every morning I wrote a list so I would remember of all my teachers and all the people who've influenced my life, going back to antiquity and all the way through yesterday. I say their names, and I remember the influence they had on my life, and say thank you, because I'm not who I am without each one of them in the place that he or she was. So it's the same
Absolutely.
Thing. You know, how often do we get up from the dinner table and not say thank you to the one who cooked the meal? Right?
Exactly.
So your advice is good for the living and for the dying.
Yes.
No sex.
Absolutely.
Finger number
and,
two.
And that gratitude practice, actually, if you have a gratitude practice, what happens is that you look for it, for things to be grateful for throughout the day.
Right.
And it's a very positive way of looking at life.
And I would just tell our listeners that it's very, very simple. It's all it takes is reframing. Let's say you're walking down the street with your child or grandchild, and the little child says to you, "Oh, mommy, oh, daddy, oh, grandma, grandpa, look at that tree. Look at how big that tree is." Now, you could say, "Yes, well, I remember from my fourth grade leaf and tree class that the size of the leaves and the shape of the leaves and the color of the leaves and the way the bark is makes that a maple tree." You could say that. Or you could say in response to grandma, grandpa, mommy, daddy, look at that big tree, you could say, "What a wonderful, beautiful gift God has given us."
Isn't that yes.
So it's all a matter. It's the exact same moment. It's the exact same situation and circumstance. It's just a question of how we frame it. Gratitude.
Yes. You can even make a metaphor out of the tree of how the tree is strong and it has its seasons and, you know, it, when it's in bloom and then when its leaves fall, there's so much you can do with metaphor, and in my book, there's a lot of stories in my book to illustrate each of the discussions. So it's a kind of a metaphor, and everybody can come up with their own. We all have our own personal metaphors that help us relate to these discussions, to life, and to thrive, to move forward.
Beautiful, beautiful, most excellent. Okay, finger number two, Cancer Suit. Night Deutsch.
Finger number two is forgive me. Very often I, when I'm with a family and I say, you know, you have to ask for forgiveness for anything you may have done, they can remember things that they have done or said, and very often the person who is dying won't even have thought that that was something that they needed to forgive for. But the act of forgiving actually really creates space and connection in a relationship. But there are things that have to happen in order for forgiveness to happen. There has to be accountability and there has to be remorse. And then forgiveness can happen. You can't just say forgive me if you don't really take accountability for what it is you want to be forgiven for.
And what if the person, the dying, being asked for forgiveness, is not capable of responding? You know, we say, "Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha." God says, "I have forgiven as you have asked, as you've spoken." So, what happens if the person isn't capable of responding?
Then you assume that they are going to forgive you. So, you say to them, "You know, there's this thing, and I know that you would forgive me if you were able to speak. I'm sorry that I did whatever it is. I really would like your forgiveness, and I know that you are generous and loving, and you love me, and you would forgive me if you were able to speak." So they know, even though they aren't able to say it, that you that that's what you would they would have said.
Hearing forgiveness, because, you know, we ask God for forgiveness all the time, and unless you're a prophet who hears directly from God, God is often non-communicative. But we know that we're forgiven when we become a changed enough person that we don't do the same thing again, or if we do, we become immediately aware of it.
And we have to trust. You know, if somebody can't speak, like we don't hear God and we look for signs maybe,
right.
We have to trust that in our asking and making that declaration that we are forgiven.
And yes, yeah. So then the next finger is, I forgive you.
I forgive you, yeah. And here's where the families often say, I have nothing to forgive them for. You know, like, there's nothing they did. There's nothing wrong, especially when someone's dying. You don't want to think of something they did wrong. Very often the person, even particularly when they can't communicate, there may be something that they think they did wrong or said or something that they need to be forgiven for. And you need to forgive them just in case there's anything. And again, in our liturgy, when we, on Yom Kippur, when we say for this sin or that sin, I remember with my foster father once saying to him, why are you asking for forgiveness? You never done anything wrong. And he laughed. He said, you know, for the things that I don't know that I did.
The Yodim of Elohim, for the things done knowingly and the things done unwittingly. It's one of the,
exactly,
lines in there, right? Yeah, so we'll be back with Cantor Sunlight Deutsch. This is a fascinating, fascinating conversation. And we may not get to the last two fingers, but I'm going to ask her a very poignant question for our times today. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. We'll be right back after these messages. Come on the journey. Join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bock. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Rabbi Dr. Wayne Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 best-selling books. Living Judaism, The Complete Guide to Jewish Belief, Tradition, and Practice is now a classic, used in synagogues, churches, seminaries, and universities throughout the country as the basic introduction to Judaism text, and in homes as the perfect one-volume reference to Jewish faith and observance. 20-Minute Kabbalah, co-written with his wife Ellen Kaufman Dossick, uses Tree of Life mysticism to offer a daily personal spiritual practice that brings you to God, your soul knowing, and your heart's desires. The accompanying audio CD, angelically sung by cantor Kathy Robbins, guides you through all the sweet and holy chants. These and other fine books by Rabbi Dossick, including When Life Hurts and Soul Judaism, are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Indigo Children, visit the website www.soulbysoul.com. And for more information about Kabbalah, visit the website www.20minutekabbalah.com. Let Wayne Dossick's books expand your knowledge and enrich your life.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Our last few minutes with Cantor Sunlight Deutsch. Before we get to, if we have time, before we get to fingers 4 and 5, I want to ask you this, Cantor. The kinds of discussions you are talking about are very deep and very intimate and very affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Americans have a great, and to say nothing of Brits, my friend, but a lot of Americans have a very hard time these days expressing emotion. We grew up in that puritanical life style, if you will. And how is it that you get people who are not comfortable with emotion, who are not, let's say, comfortable expressing love, who are not comfortable or embarrassed by this notion of forgiveness or I love you or thank you? How do you get those conversations going?
I become emotional. I speak, and then the person will follow along very often. I always ask permission to hold someone's hand, and particularly though when someone's dying, the emotion, even if it's not shown, is there. And I ask questions. And it's everybody has an answer to a question inside them. I do that in my coaching practice too. It's all about the questions, and this really is a book of questions.
Well, if you say to a wife or to a husband, tell your husband you forgive him, or tell your husband thank you, and you know she can't think beyond the mink coat and the Mercedes. Because you know, so many people live in that kind of world. How do you break through, not to the dying person, but to the living person?
To the living person,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
By asking questions. I never direct someone, tell him to do that. I will ask, what did your husband do that made you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
What did your wife do that especially made you want to just say thank you, like what that you were really grateful for? And sometimes just showing a photograph, oh yeah, that was the time when.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And you know, asking what do you want to have happen?
Well, that's a dangerous question, because half the time they'll say, I want my husband to live. I don't want him to die. Make it happen, Rabbi. Make it happen, Cantor.
Okay. Right?
Make it happen, God.
Particular...
Don't let him die. Don't let him die. Right?
Right. What do you want to have happen in this relationship as far as saying? What do you want him to know?
Very nice. Because the inevitable is the inevitable. So you're there as the chaplain in many ways to help people face the inevitable, yes?
Yes, yes. Because we're all dying. We're all dying.
Sure.
And, you know, I've had someone, a young woman, where I teach at Camp Widow, I teach a grief recovery workshop called Finding Light Beyond the Shadows. And she looked at my book and she said, well, he's already died. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I said, well, there is a self-care section and a grieving section. And this young woman's husband had committed suicide, and she had two young children. She bought the book. She wrote to me, and she said, you know, my family is really angry with my husband for what he did, and I'm going to use this book to have the discussions with them now, because I want to talk about this. I don't want them to be angry with my husband. I want to resolve the feelings around it. So it's important. You know, these are important for the living as well.
Right.
Even when the person's passed away, you can still have these conversations with them. And I detail how to do that in the book.
So, folks, if you want to know the last two fingers, I love you and goodbye, you'll have to get the book. It's at Amazon. It's at cancersue.com. The Healing Hand, 5 Discussions They Have with the Dying Who Are Living. And you can attend a workshop with Cancer Sue. Cancer, do you have a workshop coming up?
I do, in Portland, Oregon, at the New Renaissance Bookshop on June 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. That's the Healing Hand Workshop. And then I'm doing the Finding Light Beyond the Shadows at Camp Widow, July 13th to 15th in San Diego. And it's all on my website. And if you want to sign up, I can send you an email and let you know.
So get in touch with Cantor Sue, cantorsue.com, cantorsue.com, and you can find out all about her schedule, and you can find out where she will be. I know that Camp Widow is very important. It was very helpful to my sister-in-law and niece after her husband and father died very suddenly. And Cantor Sue, I'm sure, is a magnificent member of that faculty, who brings great understanding and empathy to the people who are there. The Cantor Sue Knight de Deutsch, the author of The Healing Hand, Five Discussions to Have with the Dying Who Are Living, a very important book for each and every one of us. And don't think that you don't need this book because, after all, everybody is healthy and well. You never know. You just never know. Life is unpredictable these days. And we should all live and be well, as we say in the Jewish tradition, till 120, the age when Moses died. But you never know, and therefore this is good information to have, to work with, and probably to deal with in a less emotional stage than when it may be needed. So, Cantor Sue Knight Deutsch, thank you so much for being with us on Spirit Talk Live today. We're very, very grateful for your being with us, and we wish you great success with your work. We also thank Doc Collins, our wonderful musician who plays our theme song each and every week, and the good folks at HealthyLife.net, Linda McKenzie, the visionary founder, and Jay Cruz, the incredible, extraordinary producer, who have invited us at Spirit Talk Live to be part of the HealthyLife.net family, all positive talk radio. We've been glad to be here for, I think it's 8-9 years already, and we're delighted to be part of that family. Next month, here on Spirit Talk Live, it's the show where we have our most popular and frequent guest, my holy wife, the Holy Rebbetzin, Ellen Kaufman-Dossick, talking about these cosmic times. Ellen, with her channeled update on what's happening spiritually and energetically in our world, helping us make sense of our sometimes chaotic lives, giving us guidance and direction for personal and cosmic understanding and fulfillment. And so much has been going on in our world lately. Ellen's not been on the program for a number of months, so there is so much to tell. You won't want to miss that. That's Wednesday, June 20th, as always the third Wednesday of the month, Spirit Talk Live. Until then, friends, be good and do good. Be sweet and be holy. Tune your awareness to oneness consciousness, for in oneness consciousness you strive for the recognition and the reality of one God, one world, one people. The promise and power of Eden on earth once again. Our prayers today are with our brothers and sisters in the land of Israel, our cousins in the Arab lands. It is time, time, time for the children of Isaac and Ishmael, the children of Jacob and Esau, to touch hands in peace. And that's why we invite you this month, every month, to come on the journey, join in the quest. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. This is Spirit Talk Live. Until next month, shalom, salam, pax, peace.